Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, and I'm Bob Davis, of course. This is Basic Gospel. If you have questions or a hard life issue that you're dealing with, well, we invite you to call us right now at 844-322-2742. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And I know everybody has questions. Everybody has issues in life. Everybody's dealing with stuff. And I'd like to have answers of how to take the next step, how to move forward, how to experience genuine freedom, how to experience peace. And if you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, we encourage you to jump online right now at 844-322-2742. You know, this month we're talking about some of the basics of the Christian faith. Our name as a ministry is Basic Gospel. We deal in the essentials. Paul, when he wrote his letter to the Corinthians, he says, "I am delivering to you what is of first importance, the essentials." And what were they? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, why is that important for us to understand the essentials? Why is it important for us to know the basics of Christianity? Because it's those basics that get attacked all the time. Mm-hmm. The most basic truth that we hold as believers in Christ is the fact, the truth, that Jesus is God, that he was both fully God, fully human when he walked this earth. He was the Son of God, pre-existed, was in on creation. He holds things together. He's going to be the judge at the end. This Jesus Christ is God. Paul really put it succinctly when he said, we're waiting on the blessed appearing of our Lord and Savior, the great God, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God. Well, people attack that. Skeptics attack that. And try to shoot holes in that claim, but they have yet to do so. This truth has marched on through history. But we need to know that. If we're not sure that Jesus is God, and somebody comes to our door and starts to question that truth, and
which they have,
man, they can just wrap you right around that doorknob, and you come away confused and wondering, I don't even know what I truly believe. Well, let's get to the point where we know, and that no one can knock us off that solid position of who is Jesus. We know that he's God. The other thing that people attack time and time again is the authority of the Word of God. Now, the authority of the Word of God and the deity of Christ go hand in glove. It's on his word, on his authority, that we can look at the word of God and recognize that it has authority in our lives. And here's the reason why. Now, Jesus constantly had interaction with the religious leaders of the day, and many of these interactions were contentious. They were trying to trap him. They were asking questions that tried to trap him in a way that they could say, oh, he's not the one. Mm-hmm. And they could do their part in trying to get rid of him. And so he's in one of those conversations, and he says to them in verse 38 of John chapter 5, "And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." Well, the one whom God had sent was standing right in front of them. Yeah. And they had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And then he says this, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." So what we learn in the Word of God is that life, this eternal life, is in Jesus. And he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So this Word of God, this Bible that we hold in our hands, is God's testimony concerning his Son. It is the Word of God that points us and directs us to faith in Jesus Christ. And it says, he said to them, "Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." So what is this Bible about? Well, it is God's testimony concerning Jesus. It's the story about Jesus. It's the fact that in Jesus is everlasting life. And when we do, as the Word of God says, look to Jesus, call upon the name of Jesus, then we're going to receive what the Word of God says we're going to receive, eternal life. That's the authority of the Word of God. And it's based on the fact that Jesus said this Word is truth. And if Jesus is God and he says the Word is truth, guess what?
Guess what?
The Word is truth. Now, he goes on to say in verse 45 of chapter 5, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. So Moses brought to the people of Israel the law, the Ten Commandments, 603 other laws, and that was going to be their way of life. And so they set their hopes on being a group of people that would one day live up to the full requirements of the law. Well, their hopes were always going to be dashed. Yeah. Why? Because they were going to fail miserably. So the word that Moses brought to them became a word of accusation because they misinterpreted the purpose of that very law. They used it to gain righteousness. But Moses wrote it, and here's what Jesus said. If you believe Moses, if you really believed what he wrote, then you would believe me. Why? Well, Moses said to the people of Israel that someday in the future, a prophet is going to be will arise, one like me, but he will have the words of eternal life, and you will need to listen to him. So Moses wrote about Jesus, and Moses pointed the people forward to the time when Jesus would come. So he says, if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So the writings of Moses, the writings of the Old Testament, God moved through those prophets, God moved through Moses, God moved through David and the other psalmists, and God moved through Solomon to tell a story about his son. Mm-hmm. That's what the Old Testament is about. The New Testament explains what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we have a singular story about the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's why the Word of God has authority, because it points to the authoritative one, the one in whom is life, and when we turn to him by faith, we too receive life.
Is this kind of going against the current?
It goes against the current. It certainly goes against the religious current. Every single religion that is out there in the world is a works-based system. You do this, this, and this, and you're going to earn some reward. Mm-hmm. Now, the rewards are all different, but the way you get them is to earn them through human effort, earn them through abiding by the rules and regulations of that particular faith or that particular philosophy. Not a single religion out there has a founder that says, come to me.
Yes.
Only Christianity.
Yeah.
And the Word of God, the book that we hold in our hands, the book that we hold sacred and claim is authoritative in our lives, is the book that points us to that one who said, come unto me.
Yeah.
So that's what distinguishes Christianity. So when we take our stand on Jesus Christ, we are swimming against the current of every other religious system, every other philosophical system that has been invented by man.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, all the things Bob just spoke about and much more are detailed in this new resource called Against the Current, and we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for helping Basic Gospel continue to be available to speak truth into the lives of people everywhere that this broadcast is heard. Well, we hope you'll join us with your gift today, and you can do that by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Your gift could be one that helps turn a lost and struggling soul to Jesus Christ, and what price can you put on that? So again, please donate to help keep this message going, this message of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. Again, you can donate at basicgospel.net. Well, that number again, 844-322-2742, and it's good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start out in Pine, Arizona with our good friend Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Bob and Bob. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, let me offer condolences to the family, friends, and fans of legendary guitarist Eddie Van Halen, who passed away today of cancer at the age of 65.
Just heard about that.
Yeah, if you're out there, folks, and you're thinking about death now based on what I just said, good news, you have the choice of what you're going to hear at judgment. Either, well done, good and faithful servant, enter the kingdom, or depart from me, I never knew you. And you can decide by believing in Jesus right now. Which leads me into my question, Bob, and ties right into what you were talking about today. We have some false teachers around today who want to say that the blessings, benefits, or goodies, if you will, of grace are automatically applied to every human. Some of them will say everybody's already forgiven, they just don't know it. And then they will ironically say if they don't believe, they'll be forgiven people in hell, which sounds just absurd. Some of them say that universalism is true, that everybody is going to heaven automatically. And others will say inclusionism is true, that they'll suffer punishment for a while, but will eventually end up in heaven. And in your great way, Bob, I'd like you to address those issues in light of your teaching this month on necessities, if you will.
Well, Greg, that's a great question, and there are lots and lots and lots of theological systems out there. There's Calvinism that says, you know, God chooses some to be saved, and then he chooses others to be damned. There's Arminianism, which is a reaction to that, saying, no, we have the free will to choose. Then you have universalism or inclusionism, which would say, based on the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the entire world unto himself, that everybody is going to be saved. And some who express faith today come to that awareness of this truth, can enjoy the goodness of this new life in Christ here and now. Others that don't come to that awareness, they may suffer miserably here, but they're going to be with the Lord forever. Well, the Word of God is very clear in the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. So there is this human response, this human receiving of this life, this human receiving of Jesus Christ. Paul said that we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. We call upon the name of the Lord, and in so doing, we are saved. So God has acted in Jesus Christ. He has shown his favor toward man. That grace hits our human hearts, and our hearts are either going to be softened and humbled to a point that we receive, and when we receive Jesus, and in him, in Jesus, is all of these other gifts of grace. Paul was very clear in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we don't have redemption or forgiveness outside of Christ. They are only available in Christ. So when we're in Christ, we get the full package. Outside of Christ, we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. We're still separated from God. And if we die physically that way, then that judgment is going to be ours eternally. We're going to be dead, spiritually dead, eternally, away from the presence of God. So I think Paul kind of captures the real essence of this in that phrase, by grace through faith. There is a direct response brought about by the grace of God that attaches itself to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Outside of receiving Jesus, you've got nothing. You're still a sinner, still dead in your sins, still lost. So only those who have received Christ, who are now in Christ and in whom Christ lives, those are the only ones that have redemption, forgiveness, a new identity, have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, have been made righteous, holy, and perfect in the sight of God.
Well, thank you, Bob. That was beautifully and accurately stated. It helped me to solidify even more what I already knew, and I'm sure it helped listeners out there. May I ask a follow-up question?
You bet.
Okay, you mentioned 2 Corinthians 5, where God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. Now, my question has to do with if I'm understanding this correctly. It seems to me that God is now offering grace to every human being. Everyone has opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And in that sense, that's how God is not counting men's sins against them. But that phrase does not mean that they are already forgiven. Would you agree?
Well, Greg, forgiveness is in Christ. So in him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So if you're outside of Christ, if you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, you don't have forgiveness. Now the blood, the sacrifice has been made. There's nothing more to be done. God has removed the obstacle. So everyone is free to receive eternal life in Jesus Christ. And with that comes the gift of forgiveness, the gift of righteousness, the gift of holiness, all of those things that are bundled up in Jesus. It's a bundled package. You get him, you get all these other things.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's the way I understood it. God has, as your friend Richard Piper used to say, the table is all set.
Yes.
And you're invited to the table. Will you come?
Absolutely. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. So I think you can go out in the world and I can go out in the world, Greg, and say to any person who is lost, hey, the work's already been done. Christ looked at your sins. He died for your sins. Now, as Paul goes on to say in that passage in 2 Corinthians, that he is an ambassador of Christ going out into the world and pleading, begging people, once they've heard the message, to be reconciled to God. That's the receiving. So the grace is God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He was demonstrating the very love of God, and that while we were sinners, Christ died in our place. So that's the grace that's been thrown out to us, that's been offered to us. And then we receive it in receiving that reconciliation, being reconciled to God. And Paul went on to say, for example, in Romans 5:11, we rejoice that we have now received the reconciliation of God. So again, it gets back to that phrase, by grace, through faith in Jesus. That's how it works.
Absolutely, Bob. Thank you so much. Beautifully said.
Well, thank you, Greg. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, it is.
Well, we're going to go out to Garden Grove, California, and talk to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bob. Bob, how you doing today? Glad we can connect again today. How's everything out there, my friends?
Well, it's beautiful fall weather.
Yes, it is.
So as far as living in Texas, October is always the greatest month of the year, and this year it's no different.
There you go. Excellent. Hey, my question is, first I want to say that, you know, when I became a Christian years ago, I was scared to death to read the book of Hebrews. I mean, every time I get in there, I would just get so down. And now that the Lord has opened my eyes and my heart to the book of Hebrews, I can't put it down. I can't close it. I'm reading it all the time. You know, the scriptures just keep slapping me in the face in a good way, not in a bad way anymore. But I was just going to say, you know, thank the Lord Almighty for inspiring the author to write that book, because this Hebrews right here has, you know, has so much to do for believers and, you know, proving that believers and unbelievers are two different entities, if you know what I mean, you know. And
yes, yes.
You know, like the question that, well, the question that I had that was kind of concerning me was, is not really a question about what I believe, but what you think. And we go to Hebrews 4:2, for indeed we have, you know, have good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word that they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest. So there's, he's saying that the Hebrews, they didn't put faith and belief together, and so they didn't enter the rest. And that pretty much sums up in Hebrews 6:4, and then you go to 10:26. That right here, what I just read, that pretty much goes down and states that Hebrews 6:4-6 and 10-26, that's for unbelievers, right? The people who didn't actually take the word to heart and believe by faith, but they actually heard it but didn't put it in their heart, right? So they weren't saved.
Well, absolutely, Ron. I mean, in chapter 4, he's talking about, you know, the wandering in the wilderness, the 40 years, and how a number of them died. I mean, the journey from Egypt all the way to the promised land, if they had done it straight through, would have been only like a 2-week journey. But right. It took them 40 years. Why? Because they refused to believe God. They refused to believe that he had their good intentions in mind.
Right.
So
exactly.
They did not combine what they heard about the promised land with faith. So they wandered in the wilderness. Now, here's a better message that's being proclaimed. It's the message of Christ, and it is a great salvation, and it is by grace through faith. So if you're not going to believe the message concerning Christ, then all you have is a fearful expectation of judgment. If you're still going to rely upon the sacrificial system, if you're going to still rely upon the Levitical priesthood, then you're going to miss the boat. You're going to miss the real thing that is now available to you in Christ Jesus. So the encouragement, the admonishment of the writer of Hebrews is, hey, you've heard the message. Now couple that with faith, and in so doing, enter into that Sabbath rest.
Yes, indeed. Ron, good to hear from you, brother. Keep listening and call us again. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have Bible questions or troublesome issues dragging you down, well, give us a call. The voicemail system is always open at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. 2742. Once again, thanks to the many of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and your gifts, and we truly need your continuing support now. If you've been unable to help so far, you can join us by making a gift now at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift, be sure to request your copy of Against the Current. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to support Basic Gospel. And again, you can make that gift at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that we're streaming daily live video on both Facebook and YouTube. You can link from the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.